CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
What if, despite aging, injuries, health conditions, and illnesses, you could not only return to a state of health you enjoyed previously, but even improve on it? As you explore your health story, it may soon become clear that energy, feelings, and thoughts, both conscious and unconscious, are intertwined and can influence your physical health. Aging happens and injuries and accidents occur and diseases strike people who seem to have no predisposition to them. Even so, no matter what happens in your health story, our guest today, Dr. Carl Greer, tells us that we get to decide which losses and changes we will accept and which ones we will want to continue to improve. Dr. Carl Greer is a practicing clinical psychologist and Jungian analyst and shamanic practitioner. He teaches at the C.G. Jung Institute in Chicago and is on staff at the Replogle Center for Counseling and Well-Being. He's the author of Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing, and also Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation. Join us for the next hour as we explore reframing the story of our health with our guest, Dr. Carl Greer. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Carl, welcome.
Nice to be here, Justine. Thank you.
It's a nice to have you. Let me start off. It's an unusual combination, being a Jungian therapist or analyst, and then also working with shamanism. How did you combine those two?
I think my first interests were in shamanism. And as a young man, I read stories about mountain men and women and medicine men and women, and had the fantasy that wouldn't it be wonderful to apprentice with somebody. And then I read the Castaneda books, but by then I had family and obligations and figured that that wasn't going to happen. I also had as a kid interest in fairy tales and stories. And so I had a parallel interest in things precursor to my interest in Jung. So then in my mid-40s, I was a businessman and decided that maybe I'd like to do something else with my life besides business. So I went back to school and became a clinical psychologist, got a degree, continued some business activities, then decided I wanted to become a Jungian analyst, which I did. At the same time, I'm still interested in shamanism, and I'm starting to do some work on my own. And then around 2000, I had an opportunity to go to Alberto Villoldo's school, and it gave me some training that was very valuable to me. I ended up being on his staff teaching there for a while. And then I spent a lot of time in South America with other shamans and was fortunate to do shamanic work and meet people in Outer Mongolia and Australia and Ethiopia and Canada. So my shamanic work has been a big part of my life for the last 17 years. Both Jungian work and shamanic work talk about the invisible realms, like I call them transpersonal realms. Jung might refer to them as the collective unconscious, where I believe there are energies and information that we can tap into. And so that's how I see the two of them coming together.
So when you were doing the shamanic work and studying with different shamans, were you able to train yourself to actually see these energies, or were you feeling them? How did they appear for you?
Well, I learned to journey. And shamans basically work with energy. They do healing work. They work in the past, and they work in the future, all to make present-day decisions better. They also work with nature. So my training was in all those things, to work with the past through journey work, to do journeys to go to the future, to find ways to work with nature, all to help me make better present-day decisions, and those with whom I work help them to do the same.
So when you receive information, how do you know that this is truly wise information or just wishful thinking, or how do you distinguish? Am I making this up, or is this real? What's your criteria?
The nice thing that about shamanism is very experiential. And so you actually are having the experience, and then it's up to you, your consciousness, to decide what you want to do with it. And your question is right on. Are you making this up? Is it real? And you just have to learn to be discriminating. If it seems to be right and you make changes based on it, and those changes are better than what you were doing before, then to me that's indication that it's working. I have a practice that I have people do called dialoguing, where they're interacting with unconscious parts of themselves, for example, or something they encounter in nature. And when people first do this, they're often wondering, just like you said, am I making this up? Is it real? But I've found nobody who hasn't done that practice for a period of time who hasn't gotten some really aha moments from that set of encounters where they begin to say, hey, there's something really valuable here for me.
And so it's like a matter of testing it out.
Yes.
So it's not just, okay, you just fly into it and you just do it, but you actually test it out and say, okay, is my health improving, or is my emotions improving? And that just reminds me, too, you talk about how, and I mentioned in the introduction, it's not only just your physical body that our emotions have a sway over how we're feeling. Can you describe that a bit, what your experience of that is?
I think the whole idea of energy medicine, of which shamanism would be a part, and while Jungian psychology doesn't necessarily talk about energy medicine, I think they would certainly believe that emotional factors and spiritual factors can affect our health. So the notion of energy medicine and also shamanism is that everything is interconnected. It comes from a one, let's say the place before creation, before the Big Bang, where everything is possible. And from that one, we now have this world. We have forces seen and unseen. We have people with emotions, with thoughts. And it's been shown through various scanning techniques that our thoughts affect our emotions, emotions affect our thoughts, and both affect our physiological processes. So they are all interconnected. So part of the work is to have people realize those interconnections and then be able to make interventions for themselves in a self-healing way that cause things to happen that otherwise wouldn't had they not done the work. My book is to help people find out how to do that.
Right, right. I'm just reminded, too, that if we are going for better health, let's say just in one modality, let's say in allopathic medicine, we go to a physician, a doctor, and we get medication or something like that. And the doctor has not been trained to ask us, well, how's your life going? Are you anxious about anything? Or they might not ask those things. And it seems to me, I think you even use the term in your book, it's a fragmented way of looking at health. Would you agree with that? Is that?
I would agree with that. I would say that allopathic medicine is very valuable. We do wonderful things with it. But I think there's more that a person can do to heal themselves than just simply surgery and medicine. So I would say one of the roots of health and healing is wholeness. And so the idea of being more whole, I think, can lead to more health.
So I know that in the title of your book, Change the Story of Your Health. So the word story is really important to you. And I guess this part of this comes also from your Jungian background, that stories are powerful. And so you are encouraging us to really to write out the story of our health, write it out, actually tell the story. So describe that process a bit for us, Carl.
I think when we can conceptualize our lives as a story, it allows ourselves to have a little distance from them. We can say, what is my story, for example? What is the story of my health? And one can get into that in a lot of different ways. But if one is willing to take the time to reflect, they may come up with some ideas and thoughts and themes that they didn't realize before. For example, you could start off telling yourself the story of your health by looking at what you eat and drink, or how you exercise, or how you conceptualize getting older, or how you deal with chronic disease or acute ailments. That would be one way to do it. Or you could just say, what are my beliefs about my health? For example, somebody could say, my parents all died of heart disease, both my mom and my dad, by the time I was 60, I probably will too. There's not much I can do about it. So kind of a fatalistic acceptance of that. Or conversely, somebody could say, my parents never believed in going to doctors or taking medicine, all the side effects. I'm not going to either. Not to say which is true, but I would argue that in both cases, there's other ways a person could think about that. For example, the first person could realize that no matter what your genetic inheritance is, you can change the way your genes express themselves by lifestyle changes. And the person who says, I never want to, take medicine or go to a doctor, may be causing themselves undue harm by not doing so. But to have that stated to yourself in the context of a lot of the other questions that I suggest, is a starting point for somebody to say, this is what is. And then you need to do that, in my belief, Justine, in order to know what it is you like to have for your health story. So you have to start with what is as honestly as you can, and not the story that you want somebody else to hear, but really what is your truth. And then you can ask yourself, what would you like it to be? And then you can get to that point where you're saying, if this is the way I'd like it to be, why isn't it that way? And that's where some of these other unconscious factors come in, because perhaps it's not the way you would like it to be because there's some part of you that doesn't want it like that. Or there's some information someplace that you're just not aware of. In both cases, the what I call expanded awareness practices in my book help you to find out about those things.
We'll talk more about that in just one moment. I'm here with Dr. Carl Greer. He is the author of Change the Story of Your Health Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with Dr. Carl Greer, and he is the author of Change the Story of Your Health Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, carlgreer.com. And Carl is spelled with a C, C-A-R-L, Greer.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. And Carl, we're talking about that writing out that story, and then the practices, the awareness practices that you espouse. And I'm reminded too of some of the questions when you're saying write that story first of your belief systems, where you are now before you write out where you want to be. And I ran across some really lovely questions that you pose that help with this. And one is a question, this is maybe for the second part of that, when you're looking at improving your health, what do I need to do to regain my vitality? Is this treatment working for me, and should I continue it? What is triggering my, let's say, fatigue or overeating or whatever the bad practice you're doing? What's triggering it? And what will happen if I continue my present course, making no changes in my lifestyle? I think that that's a really important question. If we kind of take it all the way out to, okay, I really don't want to change eating ice cream or being sedentary. I don't really want to change it. And if we just sit down and write out, okay, if you follow that all the way to the nth degree, where will it take you is, I think, what you're asking us to write out. Is that?
Yes. And when one does that just with their conscious mind, they would have some answer. That answer may be influenced by popular literature about what happens if you don't do such and such. But I'm suggesting further, we may have some inner knowing, an inner healer that we can access that may have even a different picture for us. And so the practices that I'm suggesting in my book allow us to access these inner voices, the inner healing capacity we have that might be a different solution than the one we were just talking about that a person rationally would try to get to. And to that end, I have, in that particular case, a journey that I take people to. I suggest tell them how to do it in my book, to the upper world. And you go out however many years you want to go, let's say 5 or 10 years, with a particular health issue and say, all right, if I don't change, what's the picture of me and my health going to be? And if, so you get a picture. And then you may say, well, what do I need to give up in order for that picture not to be so? What do I need to gain? And if I do those two things, give up something, gain something, what's it going to look like 5, 10, 15 years out? And it's a very powerful journey that many people have used very beneficially in order to make changes.
I'm struck by the idea that lots of us would like to change some long-standing habit. But that is not so easy to do. Let's take, for example, like for me and some of our listeners know, I have been working with weight issues for decades, and could not make any headway. I would make a little bit of gain, well, a little bit of loss, and then I gain it back. And, you know, that yo-yo, and trying all sorts of different diets and all sorts of different things. And then at some point in the last year, I, for some reason, there was something in me that lined up, not just outwardly, not just in how I was going to change things, but inwardly. There was an inward change, and I was able to then be successful, and I've lost 85 pounds in the last year.
Wow.
And keeping it off, you know, and it's like easy. Mm-hmm. It was easy. No, I didn't have any hunger. It was easy to change my habits. But I understand so well how hard it is to change habits. And I think that you mentioned something that's a wonderful clue later on in your book. You mentioned something about the smaller changes that we can do. We often leap into, okay, I'm just going to do this big new regime and change everything. Mm-hmm. And I see you shaking your head. So tell us about that, how that does or doesn't work.
May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
But it's interesting that something lined up, you said, inside of you that caused the change. Had you done work in preparation for that over the years so that, without getting into the particulars, that somehow made it more possible for something to line up? Or did it just kind of happen out of the blue?
I think for me, it was my life lined up. I remember years before when I had a little bit of success in losing weight, and I might have mentioned this on air at some point. I walked by the bathroom window mirror, and I saw myself out of the corner of my eye, and a voice appeared to me in my ear and said, oh, how will you be powerful now? And I thought, well, now that's interesting. And I realized that somewhere deep in my psyche, I was equating personal power with weight, with actual physical weight. So I had that piece, but that was like two decades ago. And now my life changed, and I'm actually having, at this point in my life, actually manifesting success in being powerful and being actually, my partner has died. So for the past 5 years, I've taken over the running of New Dimensions, and I found that I'm really quite good at it. And that seemed to line up the experience of feeling that expression of power, and suddenly I'm able to lose weight. I'm not sure if they're really coordinated, but it seems maybe.
No, it's beautiful. I ask because oftentimes people will do the work, and something that seemingly is not necessarily related to the fibromyalgia or the chronic fatigue syndrome will crop up like power. Just because they're working in these, they have the view of the mirror, they're doing a journey, or they had a dream. And the wonder to me, you know, observing this work and being part of it is how, for that particular person, it allows things to line up even maybe then, or eventually line up. Had they not had that experience, maybe they would have gotten to that place, but at least those experiences allowed them to do that. Now, when somebody's had that experience and they've lined up a little differently, speaking for myself sometimes, you still, back to your original question, how do you make changes in the moment, you know, the little, little changes, you still have to every moment decide, am I going to drink this? How much am I going to drink? Am I going to eat this? How much am I going to eat? When am I going to do it? So you still have to make those decisions. And in my book, I talk some about those incremental little changes in the moment, how you can think about those perhaps differently than you have before.
So there's a kind of, we have to be patient with ourselves.
Yes.
That we, you know, oh man, we are totally in a culture with instant gratification. You know, we are looking for it to be, take the magic pill and have it done with, and just, you know, do the hip replacement and have it done with and all of that. But those steady little incremental steps then require a kind of patience, it seems to me.
Absolutely. And the kind of work I'm suggesting, I really feel does help people. But you have to be willing to spend the time to reflect on what your health story is, to believe that you have the capacity to do more self-healing than you've done before, and do certain things that you haven't done, like working with your unconscious to find out perhaps some of the blocks that you've had, or understand the relationship between, in the story you told, power and weight, and then uniquely to you or to them, they're able to make changes because all of a sudden they have a different piece of data, they think about things differently than they did before the aha moment that you had or that they had.
Well, I can see, like I go to group every week. It's a weight management group, and it's offered by my HMO, and they'll offer it for the rest of my life. And I really find value in being with other people who are working with the same issue as I am. And I noticed that some people in the group, they are just not successful. I can see that that moment of choice, they succumb to not making it consistently. They might do it one week, and then the next week they'll say, oh, well, I fell off the wagon, so to speak. And it's facing those that choice every time is... And it may not be a big choice. It may just be these little choices that we're making constantly.
Absolutely. That can mount up to big changes if you make them. You know, one simple little thing that I've done for myself and people have done, when you're, say, going to order out and you have a normal kind of habitual response to what you want to eat, take 8 seconds or 10 seconds to have a real slow in-breath and an exhale, in-breath, where you're kind of reflecting on this. What do I want to do right now, as opposed to just doing what you used to do? I grew up in the Midwest where grandmothers used to like to feed their grandsons, and I ate meat and potatoes and sticky buns and pies and gravies. And I love that kind of food, and it's not been so great for me. And it's been tough to kind of wean myself away from that. But I've had a lot of time to, you know, practice different things, and I'm not eating perfectly, but I'm eating a lot better than I used to. And part of the ways in which I make those choices is just what I said. I kind of, how much do I really want to eat today? And what do I want to eat? And I take a little pause before I do it. Can I eat a little bit more slowly than I used to? Do I really need to have this to drink, and so on and so forth. So each, there's just these little choices, but I'm better able to make them, I believe, Justine, because of some of this work that I've done in these shamanic and Jungian realms.
Exactly, exactly. And I want to talk about helpers, both the internal helpers and the external partners that we might tap into to help us with this, both in writing our story, I think might be helpful, and then also in actually manifesting change. So I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Carl Greer, and he is a practicing clinical psychologist, a Jungian analyst, and a shamanic practitioner. And he's the author of Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, carlgreer.com, Carl spelled with a C. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe program.